The EU Clean Energy Package is a key initiative in reducing the world's reliance on fossil fuels and shaping the strategy of European DSOs. As well as influencing European DSOs, this initiative is setting the standard for smart grid deployments around the world. The challenge is to invest in technology in the smart grid so that it becomes truly smart, providing the intelligence and capabilities that will be needed to drive towards the clean energy package outcomes. These outcomes include increased energy efficiency, a minimum 32% renewable energy in the energy mix, a robust governance system, and a redesigned energy market, amongst other things. The ultimate goal, however, is to ensure that the EU is carbon neutral by 2050.
Welcome to the Smart Energy International podcast, your guide to innovation and trends in the global power and energy sectors.
Hi, I'm Claire Falkven, your host for today's episode about the EU Clean Energy Package and how so much of this package is going to be supported by communication technology. In this episode, I'm joined by two experts, Mark Ossel, board member, OSGP Alliance, and John Wells, chairman of the technical committee from the OSGP Alliance. Good afternoon, both of you. It's so wonderful to have you join us.
It's good to hear your voice again, Claire.
Thanks, Claire. Looking forward to the session.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it too. And I think, Mark, perhaps you could give us just a little bit of an insight into who and what the OSGP Alliance is.
Yes, Claire. The OSGP Alliance represents a group of companies who share a vision on the energy transition, which changes the architecture of the grid towards a decentralized grid, and where the dynamics of the energy flows are significantly, especially on the low voltage part, and different than we ever seen before. The Alliance created the Open Smart Grid Protocol, OGP, for utilities that want a multi-application smart grid infrastructure instead of a meter-centric automated metering infrastructure. OGP is not just applicable to meters, it's for a variety of smart grid devices and functionalities beyond metering. The OGP protocol is a truly open standard, according to the European Commission, and is published by Sensenelec, ETSI, and DIC, and certified for compliance by institutes like NMI in the Netherlands. The OGP Alliance, as an NGO, a non-profit organization, is composed of utilities, manufacturers, and integrators, and responsible for the promotion and adoption of OGP, supporting the publishing and maintaining of the OGP specification and standards, and supporting the certification process of the compliant devices. In OGP, interoperability, privacy, and security are the cornerstones in the vision of future developments, because each vendor will easily find a way how to communicate its added value services. Today, there are more than 5 million smart meters installed and operating that are based on OGP, and some of the largest and most advanced smart metering projects ever implemented.
Well, that certainly is a large number of meters. Mark, and I was wondering, could you perhaps give just a sample of some of the projects that the OSGP protocol has been implemented in?
Yes. For instance, in Sweden, Vattenfall and E.ON deployed more than 1 million OGP compliant meters and benefit from superior performance and reliability of OGP. In Denmark, nearly 1 million OGP compliant meters have been deployed by a number of utilities, including Sirius, Constant, and Enic, or N1. In Finland, for instance, Fortum installed over 650,000 OGP meters. In Poland, Chevron installed more than 300,000 OGP meters, and even from multiple vendors. And in Romania, Electrica is installing OGP-based meters. And I can continue. In Switzerland, Austria, many utilities rely on OGP. These smart meters, like others in OGP deployments, report not just hourly readings, but officially provide extended load profile interval data, power quality reports, and integration with home energy networks, with perfect daily performance of every meter between or above 99.8%. OGP started nearly 20 years ago with a vision on the energy transition and how the related low voltage network dynamics and requirements, and designed a system for management of all the smart grid devices at the edge of the grid. In contrast, other technologies like DLMS or IDIS as a proprietary subset were designed for automatic meter reading. By the way, OGP open network and standards philosophy support all kinds of communication layers. Today, mostly deployed on power line communication, PPSK or G3, but also point-to-point wireless communications like LTM or narrowband IoT are being supported. There is no lock-in to any specific technology, but it will remain open to innovation and coexistence with previous and other technologies as we go. Today, OGP is rapidly gaining more visibility with an ever-growing ecosystem of industry vendors offering OGP-compliant products to utilities on all continents.
John, perhaps you could share some insight then into why interoperability is so important and how OSGP Alliance provides that interoperability.
Yeah, thanks, Claire. It's really important that you pick up on that point. So interoperability refers to the ability to deploy meters from various vendors into one smart grid and have them work together. Now, simply allowing for a coexistence of meters in the same grid is really not enough to be of value. It's equally important, and perhaps even more important, that the back-end systems are able to accept the new vendor's meters. And this isn't simply a case of billing either. It's important that the interoperability supports connections to the operational tooling and any analytics functions that are deployed. So, as Mark mentioned, several standards exist, and the approach taken by a number of them is to allow vendors to implement their own recommendations within the framework of the standard. And this means that whilst they're able to support some levels of interoperability, the back-end systems, so the billing, the operational tools, the analytics tools, they still need considerable work to handle the vendor-specific interpretations of the frameworks. Now, OSGP actually fully defines how the meters operate, how they share the valuable information from the grid, and how they can be configured and controlled. Now, this means that the back-end systems are able to accept the meters from any new vendor that's providing OSGP certified meters. And as Mark mentioned, there's examples, for example, Tauron in Poland, where they have multiple vendors all contributing OSGP certified meters. And these are all integrating seamlessly into a set of back-end systems and operational processes. So the benefit for the DSO and the benefits realized by the users of OSGP meters that Mark introduced are to provide a unified single screen for maintaining and operating their smart grid. This removes the challenges of a kind of swivel chair integration where operators are having to use multiple systems, multiple screens. And it allows the DSOs to improve efficiency of their smart grid and its agility to respond to regulatory, market, and technology dynamics.
Certainly not an easy thing to achieve there. Mark, in the beginning, I referenced the whole concept of the clean energy package, and perhaps you could give me some insight into how you are supporting the clean energy package.
Good question, Claire. The European Commission Clean Energy Package, or CEP, is a major driver for change. Change in business models, moving towards renewable energy sources, and most of all, change in behavior. The consumer of energy is kind of in the middle of all of this. He consumes energy, he will generate energy, and store energy. He will do this on his own, or more likely, within the local community. The clean energy package is very much geared to enforce countries, DNOs, distribution companies, to support the consumer or community in this transition of the new energy system. Utilities now should offer flexible tariffs, enable demand-side management, support communities managing their environment. However, offering these services require information and management of the low-voltage grid and the devices connected. As the number of devices grows, the need for analytics and security is growing along, and more applications are being added to the portfolio of the OGP partners. John is expanding on that in a minute. Every country now needs to provide a plan how and when they are ready to implement systems to fulfill the requirements set in the CAP. Most countries are not ready, or even worse, took the wrong road into the future and don't have a system which allows them to support the consumer and the communities. Countries have already significant problems allowing feed-in of energy and support of the growing demand of, for instance, computer centers. DSOs don't have a proper view on the load on the secondary transformer, the feeders, the cables, or the voltages at the edge of the grid. The OGP technology allows insight in the topology, the energy flows, which is key for every DSO to make the right decision regarding asset management and performing their SLAs based on knowledge and control of loads, feed-in, and decentralized storage.
So expanding on that concept, how does communication actually benefit the smart energy transition?
Actually, it's good to actually start thinking about the level of smartness before we talk about communications. And you actually made a point in your introduction, Claire, about the need to be truly smart. So there are many levels of smartness that are provided by vendors of smart meters. And in order to achieve the benefits of the clean energy package and the wider smart energy transition, smart meters really do need to be truly smart, by which we mean they need to be able to monitor energy flow and quality, allow remote control, allow remote upgradability through configuration and firmware changes, and also be managed through an ITIL-aligned set of operational processes. Now, coming back to communications, reliable communications are essential for this. There's no point in being smart if you can't communicate. And in the case of smart meters, it's just as it is in the case for humans. So put another way, DSOs need to focus on energy reliability and efficiency, operation efficiency, and integration of distributed generation, EV, and storage in order to meet the requirements of the clean energy package. Any attempt to harness the opportunity smart meters provide to achieve these points will fail if communications in the low voltage smart grid are not of the highest quality.
I hear what you're saying, but in a market such as we are currently in, how do DSOs actually justify an investment in communication quality?
Yeah, you're right to focus on that point, Claire, and we do hear it quite regularly. So yes, of course, DSOs need tangibles to justify investment in truly smart meters and also support the resilient communications. So the OSGP has actually done some assessments of the additional areas of cost per meter per year that DSOs face for each percentage point degradation in communications performance. And this is the foundation of a clear business case for focusing on communications performance that both the technologists, the business visionaries, and the accountants can understand. Now, as Mark mentioned also, the OSGP standard can be supported on both PLC and cellular communications foundations. The efficiency that was built into the protocol from its inception means that it can make the best use of these technologies for the advantage of the DSO. So PLC, when it's available, when it can be used, is free. But when cellular communication is required, the communications efficiency built into the protocol means that less cellular data volumes are required effectively leading to lower bills. And both these have an additional positive effect for reducing the costs of achieving high quality communications.
I'm going to shift tactic ever so slightly here, John, and I'm going to stick with you if you don't mind. One of my favorite subjects, security, is it's obviously important, but how does the OSGP Alliance actually help ensure security in a practical way?
Actually, one of the topics I most enjoy focusing on as well, because I think it's every couple of days we see indications of new cybersecurity attacks and an increasing number of those being targeted towards the utilities business. OSGP embeds the latest security encryption technologies. So importantly, these encryption technologies are standard, meaning that they're regularly tested in hostile environments and regularly improved to account for new threats that are experienced in those hostile environments. But other features of the protocol exist as well, and these provide the ability to implement a wide range of security-related signals within the implementation of the smart meter. So we like to think of them as tripwires, both around and within the smart meter and the smart grid. And the cyber criminal needs to be able to get past these tripwires without setting an alarm. Now, of course, this covers the basics like access control through the interfaces on the meters. But it also covers against more insidious means of attack, such as spoofing messages on the communications or reusing software keys that have perhaps been stolen. Now, history tells us again and again that protection is just one aspect of cybersecurity. And so any security design needs to assume that the protection is somehow circumvented. Now, the OSGP deploys tripwires within the meter itself, which recognize the kinds of actions a cyber criminal would make during a reconnaissance, to exploit a success, or to actually try to hide and disguise their presence.
I have to ask, how do they do that?
So I think the way to think of it is actually thinking about your home and the security that you have in place around your home. So first of all, think about the windows and the doors and the locks. And OSGP provides best-in-class protection. And this covers your windows, your doors, and your locks. And this is effectively the protection layer. It's the way to stop criminals from getting in. But when you think about your house, you'll also be thinking about the security surrounding your home. So you'll have a neighborhood watch, you'll have outside security lighting, you'll be sensitive to that strange car that's driven past your house slowly in the last 10 minutes three times. So what OSGP does is it provides sensors that monitor the surrounding context and assess the threat and the vulnerability to it. So we have now this layer of context monitoring. So that's protecting, if you want, the outside before you've even reached the perimeter of the smart meter. Now we need to think about what happens when a thief gets in, going back to our home analogy. You'll have a burglar alarm and that'll go off. But wouldn't it be great if that burglar alarm could also take a photo of the attacker and collect the evidence of their attack? So the OSGP provides the sensors that monitor the inside of the smart grid, look for the indicators of successful attack, and record the history and the potential evidence that could lead to a response and maybe even a conviction. So the OSGP is providing essential in-depth protection, detection, and response tools for the DSO, allowing them to go on the defensive against the attacker with a credible deterrent. And this is exactly where DSO IT security chiefs need to be.
Mark, how would you summarize the activities of the OSGP Alliance going forward?
Well, first of all, providing capabilities to support the energy transition and especially the clean energy package. This means more software focus, analytics, which provide insight into grid dynamics and topology. Beside that, further development and focus on security and of the latest evolution, the intrusion detection, as John explained. In applications, but also by exchange experience between members, which inform each other on intrusions detected and learn from each other, we will increase the level of those applications, those analytics. Mm-hmm. We're ongoing looking into the evolution of technology and innovation. So not freeze, stick to the current technologies, but expand ongoing and support coexistence with other technologies. A mix of PLC technologies, point-to-point like LTEM and Narrowband IoT will be supported within the OGP set of standards. And right now, more technology providers join the OGP Alliance and provide compatible products in the near future. So, in summary, we will remain leading in performance, functionality to support smart grid, and security.
Thanks, Mark. If I were to ask, what would be the most important message you would like our listeners to take away with them?
So shall I provide my view on this? I'm a great believer in security. Security is a great passion of mine. So I would simply encourage everyone to think about a simple three-word mantra: protect, detect, respond. Any security system which focuses on just protect is only doing a third of the job. The detection piece is there to provide defense in depth, and the response piece is the only way that we'll be able to have an effective deterrent against the cyber criminal.
Well, Clara, my take would be OSGP is the best way forward for a DSO with proven performance and ability to cope with change and be ready for the future.
I like the two summaries, because I think that they are so incredibly important. I mean, partly from the perspective of obviously, and I love your mantra, John, protect, detect, respond. I think that is very important. And it's almost like the pillars that uphold a robust security system. But then also, as you said, Mark, to make sure that from a future perspective, we're always, looking at what is going to be coming and being prepared for it.
Actually, about the future, that was a very interesting point to make. I think we obviously need to protect our investments for the future, and in a rapidly developing technological area, that's obviously very different. It's very difficult. It's very hard to identify what is going to be needed 2 or 3 years down the line. That's especially difficult when we're investing in infrastructure that's going to be deployed in the field for perhaps 10 or 15 years or so. And this is where it's important to have standards that allow for the incremental upgrade and reconfiguration and development of that infrastructure. So the OSGP standard, it allows DSOs to easily upgrade firmware, to change the capabilities of the meter, upgrade configurations so that they can adapt to regulatory requirements or new market drivers. So again, a lot of this future proofing comes back to the communication side of things. And part of the challenge of any smart meter deployment is that we are communicating with many hundreds of thousands or millions of devices, quite often over a communications infrastructure that's been developed for other purposes and in some cases is legacy. So the communications and the ability of OSGP to provide highly reliable communications over that infrastructure is a key part of protecting the future.
Yeah, John, I couldn't agree more. But one thing to add, Claire, and to me, it's very, very strange. It's remarkable that where everybody understands that the world is changing, what we do see in the market is that utilities, distribution companies, if I look at the tenders, you see tenders in which the requirements reflect, let's say, the needs of today. And that the regulators in countries only allow budgets for smart metering, which sort of are similar than they allowed for dumb metering, even with a modem. So the strange situation occurs that utilities are sourcing solutions which they can implement over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And in fact, they should know that what they implement is already out of date once they have installed it. While their functional requirements were not geared towards supporting a smart grid to support the clean energy package. So many of the systems sourced, many of the tender specifications do not reflect the true requirements. And that is so remarkable that utilities still, in many cases, are buying, let's say, yesterday's technology, yesterday's solution, and because of that, are not ready for tomorrow.
Mark, I think you've probably raised the most important point, and one that I'm going to probably use to summarize the importance of this conversation. So in order to further the aims of the European Clean Energy Package and the drive to net zero and the investment in technology in the smart grid, utilities need to consider interoperability, the ability to communicate across a number of technologies, the application of safety and security to their networks. But perhaps more important than anything is making sure that whatever they are specifying or implementing, that they are already thinking ahead, that they are working ultimately to ensure that what they are implementing is future-proof.
Yeah, fully agree with you, Claire, and that is remarkable. The word interoperability is used in many cases, but misunderstood. And then they think only on 2 meters who should talk to each other or should be even the same, equal. Well, of course, they need to look at other devices that in the smart grid. You need to talk to a meter as well as to a car charging system or a street light or the supermarket or the shopping mall where you basically change set points of thermostat to do peak shaving. It all hangs together. And that is truly interoperability on a different level. And that is in most cases, it's overlooked. There are a lot of other issues. Within a distribution company, the ones responsible for metering are normally not responsible for the service level of the grid. Grid operations is a different department, which basically looks normally up to the substation, supporting maybe 20,000 homes, and not beyond that, where smart metering and transformers are installed and where the dynamics of the change are taking place. And that's the cultural gap as well within DSOs, that those departments in many cases don't talk to each other for historical reasons. That's an internal thing, but as we mentioned before, the regulators, they should much more enforce that any solution being implemented does support the clean energy package implementation.
I think that is going to be the conversation for a whole nother podcast. I love the thought of, trying to ensure that when implementations are done, that they are considered across the entire business and not just in terms of its application to a single division. And I think that that's something that utilities and businesses around the world, not just in this sector, but any business is trying to get right, is that whole concept of communication and breaking down some of those silos.
Yeah, and it's technology silos and it's internal silos.
Mark and John, thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to exploring the ongoing development of the Clean Energy Package and also to seeing how communication technology will support that going forward. Thank you for joining us on this Smart Energy International podcast. This episode is brought to you in partnership with Networked Energy Services and the OSGP Alliance. For more podcasts, you can visit the Smart Energy International website at smart-energy.com. Be sure to tune in again soon for more conversations and insights into the things that really matter to our industry. Until next time, I'm Claire Falkvane, and you've been listening to the Smart Energy International podcast.